Obviously, for obvious reasons. Okay, so up to Kitz Shulchan Aruch, Simin Dalid, Sif Gimel. It's on page Lamid Hey. On the top corner of the page, there are page numbers. So it's on page Lamid Hey, Gimel. Lo yifteh ba'amido, a person should not relieve himself. By the way, there are two terms, something called Gedolim and Ketanim. I need not elaborate. Everyone understands. They are Gedolim and Ketanim. So here when it says Lo Yifne, Yifne always is used in reference to Gedolim. So Lo Yifne Ba'amida should not be done standing. Lo Yonis Litchak Atzma Yosem Midai, person should not force himself more than is natural. Shlo Yinatik Shnia Karkashta, because it's Sakona. It can cause the teeth of the Karkashta is a... It's a clean word for the rectum. It's dangerous. Just telling us some. It's saying do not. If it's not, don't do something which is more than that's not natural. And a person should not leave. Should not prematurely leave the Beis Akise. Person's in a rush, so you'll come a little late. Now we go to Ketanim. Page Lamed Hey, he's going to show you.
No, we'll page Lamed Hey?
Here, this. Here, give this. Here, give this. Ukshamatel Maim Amida, Kisa Ketanim. Yashkiya Shlo Yinatsu Al Min Olof. You should be careful that you should not dirty his shoes. Ubigodov. Vizor Meod Shlo Lechos Biyoda Bimiloso. This is a very Makbutam Chazal, that a person should not touch the makom of the mila. Okay, they were very mak, but I don't know if today we have such high standards, but this is a very big thing in the Gemara. Dalit. The Beis Akise also lahar b'divrei Torah. The Beis Akise, it's also to think b'divrei Torah. I mentioned to you that Bizman Azer of Pinchas Scheinberg, I heard over in his name that Bizman Azer, as long as it's clean, there is no odor, and the person brushing his teeth in the Beis Akise, our bathrooms today have a din of what's called the middle room on time of the Gemara, which means you are allowed to be Harher in Divrei Torah. You're allowed to think and learning when you're brushing your teeth. You're not allowed to say Divrei Torah. You're not allowed, words may not come out, but there's no harm in thinking about something that you learned about during the day, as long as, of course, there is no odor in the room and everything in the room is clean. But over here, he's talking about the time of Chazal, where the waste is present in the room and there is an odor. So then it goes without saying that you're not allowed to even think in Divrei Torah. And of course, the person is occupied in relieving himself. He's not allowed to think in thoughts of Torah and Tefillah. But Beis Akisa also l'harbi Divrei Torah. Now, Bible is something very, very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah is a fascinating idea. It's an incredible, incredible chiddush. Let's say a person is having bad thoughts. He's thinking about noshim, things that he cannot control his mind. Not everyone is able to control their mind, and he has thoughts which are improper. The Mishnah Berurah says, in this instance, if you are able to think about Divrei Torah, you're allowed to. Can you imagine such a chiddush? You're allowed to think Divrei Torah if the thoughts of Divrei Torah will take away lewd thoughts. Even though you're in a makom that you're not allowed to think and learning. You're in a makom that you're not allowed to think and learning because there's waste and a person's mind begins to wander, has thoughts that are not proper, and you're in it, and the person is able, everyone is different, is able to think Divrei Torah. Oh, how can I think Divrei Torah in this makom? Well, if the Divrei Torah is going to prevent you from thinking these other thoughts, then you're mutter, the psak from the Mishnah Berurah. That's incredible. It's an incredible chiddush. That's what he says. Hulchein, therefore, be also shama, a person is there, tov sheyahara ba'asakov, what should a person do, think ba'asakov, business, uvichesh benoisav, calculations, k'de shalo yavol, they hear a person, should keep his mind occupied at all times, shalo yavol, they hear her Torah, or hear her avera, chas v'shalom, uvishabbos, she'en lahara ba'asakov, and Shabbos, you're not supposed to think about business, okay, requires a lot of conviction, not to forget about thinking, not to talk about not to talk in business. You should think about interesting things.
Football.
What?
Football,
sports and politics. Right? It's always good to talk about politics and Shabbos. B'dvarm neflam shura, especially shul politics. That's the best. B'dvarm neflam shura v'shama uchedayme, and what's similar? Okay, hey. Okay, we have over here a she'odim mitzion b'halacha. Let's see base. Base a kisa asal harbe devei Torah uveshel siyavetz kasav she'asal ein b'mishkolei hashemos v'hapa'olim she'loshen hakodesh. You're not allowed to think about the Hebrew language. I'm reading page lamed here on the bottom. B'mishkolei meaning the grammar of Shemos v'apa'olim shaloshna kodesh she'ein derech lehagia liyiriya zo rak alpi haksuvim. If you want to think about a grammar, you want to think about language. Let's say there are people that love language, so they want to delve in. While in the Beis Hakin say they want to think about where does the shurish of this word yisoid, where is the shurish of all these interesting words we're learning in the Niel, these rare words, where does the word come from? That's osur, because in Hebrew, there's no such thing in Hebrew of understanding a word without coming on to Torah. Every word, that's why it's Lashon Kodesh. Every single word in Hebrew has roots of holiness. And you'll come to think, we're dealing over here, people with incredible minds in ancient times, they knew Tanakh on their fingertips. So you think about a word, you'll right away come and think about Psukim and Mamari Chazal to have a greater appreciation of a word. And that's why there are a lot of people, Al Pik Suvim, the Yavel Lahara, Bebik, you come thinking and learning. Mutu La'ayim B'Sifrei HaChitzen B'Beis HaKisei, Avilohim Ksuvim Lashon HaKodesh. You're allowed to look, this is a very, very lenient thing. Says, I told you, coming for leniencies, you're allowed to look divrei chitzanim, secular knowledge, even if it's written lashon kodesh. Now, he says incredible things. Modern Hebrew today is not lashon kodesh. That's pashut. It's a whole new language. It's a whole new language, modern Hebrew. And that's not what he says. A lot of svarim today, people who write svarim, even Israelis who write svarim, they write it in Lashon Kodesh.
Yiddish.
No, not Yiddish. Yeah. Yiddish, no one writes in Yiddish today. Yiddish svarim, Yiddish today, very, 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 very few. There are a few here and there. They just put out Shmir Shamas Kilchas in Yiddish. Yeah, Hasidim, Hasidim write Yiddish. Someone told me that even Hasidim today, they're not so hard about Yiddish. So some Hasidim. In Eretz Yisrael, one of the biggest Ger. I think the Ger Rebbe, if I'm not mistaken, it's not so hot about Yiddish. And he told his Hasidim, he has one of the biggest and incredible influence in Eretz Yisrael, dealing with thousands and thousands of people. His Hasidim, they speak modern Hebrew. They speak modern Hebrew, or they speak English. They don't speak Yiddish. Why? Because he's not so excited about Yiddish. On the other hand,
there's nothing really about Yiddish.
That's debatable. That's debatable. Hasidim, that's a touchy. It's a touchy issue.
So,
I have a cousin. He's really a real Hasidish guy. He's really heavy duty, and he knows all the Hasidish politics. Whenever he comes to visit, I try to extract from him all of you know what's going on out in the world. He knows what's going on. So he told me, I had a discussion about Yiddish. So he told me he varfed off all different sects of Hasidim, and he told me that Ger, they're not into Yiddish. It's over. And I said, why? He says, because the Rebbe doesn't hold from it. I mail, it's over. But he told me, varfed off of me all these other groups. No, they hold from it.
That's the language all the kids.
In New Square. But Eretz Yisrael, you think Eretz Admas Kodesh, Eretz Yisrael, so no. But so what do they speak instead? Modern Hebrew.
Yes.
Modern Hebrew is not Lashon Kodesh.
Ivrit.
Modern Hebrew, Ivrit, it's a different language. Has different rules. It's very, very different. So it's not what it's. So if you have a physics book written in modern Hebrew, okay, big deal. So it's like written in Chinese. Okay, the Oisios are Hebrew letters. All right, and it really all comes from Lashon Kodesh. All right, modern Hebrew comes from Lashon Kodesh. You can say, you know, you should be Machmir. No, you can be Bekel. You can be. If get even the bigger Chiddush, it's written in Lashon Kodesh. Wow. Lashon Kodesh means it's a very limited, very small vocabulary, Lashon Kodesh. Go to the whole Tanakh and extract all the words of Lashon Kodesh. It's not such a big vocabulary. It's okay, you have to be very sophisticated to know how to work with the words, the Pythonim. Some of them over the generations, they became very extremely liberal in how they wrote Piyut. And they broke all the rules, every rule in the book, the Kalir and the what?
But that is also a totally different Hebrew than the
no,
Hebrew.
That's still called Lashon Kodesh. You're right. There are different levels. I don't know all the details, but when Pete became extremely popular in the Middle Ages, there was a big machlokes among the Paitanim, how liberal you can be in manipulating the language. I don't know the details. I remember hearing a shouting about Beryl Wine. He spoke about this at great length. About it. The big machlokes among the Paitanim, what exactly are the rules of manipulating Lashon Kodesh? But whatever those rules are, that machlokes, however it goes, it was still in the realm of Lashon Kodesh. It's Lashon HaKodesh. Now you go another notch into modern Hebrew. Modern Hebrew is already another notch. So if you'll go and you tell me, oh, you know, in the Beis HaKisa, you can't take a physics book that's written in modern Hebrew. I'll say, okay, I understand, you know, because it's really, it comes from Lashon Kodesh. So, no, it's Mutul Lechatchil. Oh, it's okay, I have no problem. Oh, I understand. It's like Japanese. I understand. But he's saying a big chiddush here from the Yavetz. Yavetz is saying that no, even it's written pure Lashon Kodesh. I think the Gra, didn't the villain, the Gra write a book of mathematics in Hebrew? In Lashon Kodesh. It's Chachmas Chitzonis. Lashon Kodesh. It's not written in Polish. It's written in Lashon Kodesh. And he says, Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh. Nochon the Talmud Chacham Lasses. Kain it's Mutal Lechatun Beis Akisei. So that's a very big chiddush. That's a very big leniency to be aware that even Lashon Kodesh, as long as you're not studying the source of the language, you're just using it as a language, there's no harm in taking it into a Beis HaKisei.
You're not using biblical sources.
Right. It's a Chiddush, yeah.
Jewish history.
Of course it's Mutter, without question. Without question. Are you saying, okay. I take that back, you know. You know something I tell you about? Because Rav Hutner is a famous michta from Rav Hutner. Rav Hutner holds that studying Jewish history is a fulfillment of Talmud Torah. Okay, it's a very big chiddush. It's a kind of controversial issue. If you learn Torah, right? You have time, you convey it in the Torah. Am I allowed? I want a part of my zman that I set aside to learn Torah. I learn a blad gemara. I learn a blad gemara. I learn chumash. I learn this. Part of my time for learning Torah, I want to learn Jewish history. Is that the right thing to know? You have to know it. But should I take away other time? You know, time that I spend on watching television? I'll learn Jewish history. Or is it so terrible to take away time that I spend learning Tanakh? I want to devote that time instead to learning Jewish history. So Rav Hutner is in the very big makilim. I don't know the exact parameters, but it's said over in his name that it's a geder of Talmud Torah. Shal avicha v'yagedcha zikenecha v'yavlach binu shnos dor. You have to know Jewish history to understand what happened in the time of the Crusades, to understand what happened in this period, in that period. You have to know this. Talmud Torah. It's a very high level. So you say Jewish history in the base, like you say, I guess it would depend, you know, if it's a secular type of approach to Jewish history, then I guess it would be mutter. If it's more of a religious approach to Jewish history, I don't know the answer. Because Rav Hutner says it's called Talmud Torah, Jewish history. I imagine the different types. Mishpacha magazine.
News article, but there's also Divrei Torah in the magazine.
It's a problem. It is a problem. Because of Divrei Torah. Look, you take a Mishpacha magazine Mishpacha magazine, our magazine. Or you take the Ated, or you take even the Jewish press. You take the Jewish press and basically say, I don't know, it's not so simple. This Torah inside of it. Okay, but let's say you're only taking articles. You only, I don't know. Our bathrooms today are not the Beis HaKisa and Chazal. I don't have a clear answer. Let's go. You have to use your seichel. A lot of things of halacha, not everything is totally in seichel. Okay, let's go to Vav. Bechol pam shenifne or yishmatel mayim. Now this is another chiluk lavechig lusin's opinion. Bechol shayif shenifne. That's kigdolim or yishmatel mayim called kitanim. That filu rak tipa achas. Even here, what it says, you are tipa achas. There's no shear. There's no shear to make a birchas asher yotzar. Tipa achas. Even one tipa That's a very big chiddush lahalacha. What he says, you must wash your hand b'mayim, like we learned. Different madregos of washing, just washing using a utensil, being machmir to do it three times, then doing it the right way three times, can cover your entire wrist. Notice, since I started with halachas, I never even, when you wash, do you really wash all the way to your wrist?
Yeah.
Come on, no one does. Yeah, it's a lot of water.
Until
you know, that's a cooler. That's not what it is. Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to wash for coolness, right? But you're supposed to wash until your wrist. So even if you wash until your wrist, do you get this part of the hand wet? Someone told me once, no one gets this part of the hand wet. Even those that wash. They wash. Go look at the hand afterwards. You don't wash kahalacha. You're supposed to turn your hand. It's a very big avoda to wash your hands properly. And if you really do it the real way, you're supposed to do it, everyone looks at you like you're crazy. You know, like you see these guys in yeshiva. They go and take a whole cup, and they wash, and they turn their head. So you look at them like you're nuts. They're even shugana. You know, like don't be an extremist. But the truth is, they're really doing it the right way. People like me, it's a joke. It's not really shalacha. So you know, don't make fun of anyone. There are people that know that really they do lahalacha. Vav, b'chol pam shenifnei shematol ma'im be'afilu rak tipa. I can give you one little drop. Yirchot tsiyada b'ma'im b'yivarech birchas asher yotza is afilu tipa achas. Emhitol ma'im nifne me'anu halacha. Let's say a person is goes to base, like he say nifne, it's gedol ketanim gedolim. V'shochach me'levarech asher yotza. The achar kach shuv hitol ma'im nifne. And then once again, he goes to base, like he say. When you go the second time, remember the first time you did not recite Asher Yatzar. So here's the question: how many times do you say Asher Yatzar? Once or twice? And that's a posh. Why only once? Maybe you should say you do twice. And it's not like benching, so it's not so simple. So you go look in the Makoros, the sources for this in Shulchan Aruch, where it comes from. There are opinions that say you should make Asher Yatzar twice. If you got to it once, you go to Beis Hakid, say second time, so make a double Asher Yatzar. Say it twice. No. The bottom line is you don't. You only say it once, but you lost out. You lost out, and it's a uvish sheini yochel liskein. V'shach uvach hashayatzer echach shuv shuvit l'mayim v'nifne v'diska shabishuna loy berach einoy tzarech l'varech rak pamachas. Now here is another thing which he's saying a chiddush which the Mishnah Berurah argues on. Umi sheshoy se dam sam hamishalsh. The person has to take a laxative. Okay, doctor says. Anti-diuretic, or you know, could be a diuretic.
Constipated.
He's taking something which will cause him to go to the Beis Hakisei multiple times. Doctor's orders, whatever the reason are. And he goes now to the Beis Hakisei, and right now everything is good. Right now he's clean, he feels fine, he has no urge to go again, but he knows, because he's taking this medicine, he knows that in about 15 minutes or in a half an hour, it's going to happen again, or maybe in 10 minutes, he'll have an urge to go again. So what does he do? Does he wait, and since he's a part of a process, he's taking a sam, he's taking the medicine, and he's part of a process, does he make Asher Yatzar now, or since he knows he's going to go 3-4 times, until he's finished the process, he should wait until the process is over. So it's a machlokes, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says you wait until the very end. Only once. Umi sheshes sam hamishalshel v'yodea sheyitzarech lifnos kama pa'amim lo yivarech ad le'achar ha'gemar. Wait until the very end. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees. The Mishnah Berurah says if right now you feel nothing, if you feel a little bit, everyone agrees, no one disagrees. If you feel a little bit, you have to go. You're not going to go every 3 minutes, you'll go every 10 minutes, whatever it is. So then, if you have to go, you don't make Asher Yatzar. But if right now you feel fine, even though you know it's coming in 10 minutes or in 5 minutes, but right now you feel fine, the Mishnah Berurah says you should make an Asher Yatzar, even if it means you'll make Asher Yatzar multiple times, 10 times. So what? So make it 10 times. Kitzshoch Noch disagrees. So what do? Do whatever you're comfortable doing. You have something like this, Kitzshoch Noch, Mishnah Berurah, whatever is more your, whatever you feel. Everyone is different. Some people like making brachas. Some people, they're not into making so many brachas. So you do what you feel is right for you. There is no clear psak halacha. Okay, let's just show the lulav b'mor. Simon Hay. Now we talk about cleanliness. Ksiv. V'chisisa es tsei osecha. You shall cover what comes out of your body. Tseosecha means the waste. Tseosecha is a clean word for waste. What comes out of your body, you shall cover it. This refers to a machne, go to war. You're out in the forest, you're in the fields, you're preparing for war, and during wartime, not every moment that you're fighting, you have to daven, you have to learn, you have to prepare. It has to be clean. So the pasuk says, take a shovel with you, and when the soldiers, they relieve themselves, make sure they cover the waste so they can recite brachos, and they can be occupied in holy matters when they're not engaged in war. It's walking in your camp, V'hoya machanecha kadosh, and your camp shall be holy. V'lo yire b'cho er v'astavar, and you should not expose yourself. Another halacha. Nikal lamu rabosenu zuchanu levracha, shekol mokam asher Hashem Elokeinu misalech mimanu, tahayinu kesha'anu oiskim b'davar shebekedusha, whenever it's b'kedusha, kagoyin kriyashma, tfila, toiruch, doimet, tzachlios, hamachane kadosh. The location where you oisik in holy matters shall be holy. What does that mean? Sheloi tehei tsoa megulasham, waste. Tsoa, which means gedolim, should not be exposed there. Vishlo yid yire dover erva, meaning that a person's body should not be exposed. Part of a man's body that is meant to be covered should be covered. Part of a woman's body that's meant to be covered should be covered. Kineged panam shall be least, kineged at least, when kineged, let's say part of the body is much more lenient when you're dealing with parts by that are not covered. When dealing with tsoa, it's a lot more chomer. When dealing with the actual waste product, we'll see in a moment that the rules are much more strict. When you're dealing with a man or a woman whose body is not covered, then the rules are much more relaxed, as long as you're not directly looking at that part of the body. Kneged panav shel adam, I'll kneged the face of the person, akari, who is reading Torah, o mispalel, or is that? Let's see over here the Shem Shem Halach on the bottom. Aleph, kesha'an oiskin b'dvar shem b'kdusha, ayin b'pischi tshuva l'mahari mi Vilna, hevi b'sefer toiv ayin, sh'nestape godolecha, there was a great man that had a safek, b'mi shehu b'mokam mitunuf, k'gon b'beis ha-soyar, he was in jail, iyochol, prison, iyochol l'kayim ha-mitzvah, b'maseh levad b'loi bracha. In other words, he was in a place where there was an odor, he was in prison. And there was a terrible odor of waste from the other soldiers, even from himself. And someone's open toilets, right? Exactly. Even today, you have the shiloh, right? Yeah. And but at least today, it's much more lean because today is a toilet and there's water and you can cover it and so on and so forth. But he was dealing in a prison. Or it can be, people have this Rachmanel stone in the hospital when they have a bedpan or they have a catheter, things like that, all the different complicated shilas, all depends. So now someone brings them a lulav and esrog, wonderful, they smuggled in to this person that's incarcerated, shalaykudin, of course. We're not discussing people that voluntarily put themselves in situations where they end up in prison. But people, Rachmanel stone, he was incarcerated for a crime he did not commit, and now they bring him a lulav and esrog, and so what does he do? He can't make a bracha. So can he at least mekayim the mitzvah of shaking lulav v'esrog without making a bracha? B'mayis levad bracha bracha b'loy bracha going lead to lulav v'esrog. So what, that was his suffix. So what's the answer? V'seifa ikrei, I don't know what this is, hadat, kosav, d'shori ayin shami, brings from the sefer, hadivrei, I don't know what this is, and it's mutter. It's mutter. You can lekayim, the brachos are not ma'akev, and the mitzvah is incredible chiddush. A mitzvah does not require absence of odor. To make a bracha, to say baruch ato Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, has to be in the makom that's kadosh. But to be mekayim the mitzvah, so first of all, it's a mitzvah object. A mitzvah object, we have to remember, is not a sefer Torah and is not tefillin. They're objects of kedusha and they're objects of mitzvah. When you finish with the mitzvah object, where does it go? It goes on top of the ara, right? It goes in the garbage. Tzitzis, when you finish, it goes in the garbage. Derech kavam. Kedusha, tefillin, Mezuzos goes in Geniza, has to be buried. But a mitzvah object has much less sanctity and there's no problem. It's mutter. The ayin behalochas ketana shekasa av dinami the mutter lekayim a mitzvah kegoy lita lulav v'mekayim shein mekiyim kuchmash u'mash shekasa av shemutter lahar u'ledaver be'asiyas hamitzvah kegoy ne'ech yasa sukkah chodoyme. And you also allowed u'mikol shekain shemutter lahar u'ledaver be'asiyas hamitzvah. If it's dirty, there's an odor. You're allowed to think in your mind, how is the proper way for me to do the mitzvah? How do I shake it? In which direction? Back and forth, up and down, and so on and so forth. And how to go into the sukkah? It's mutav aimer halacha de asula lispal sham over al iser deraisa. So this is a very important psak from the Sha'anim Mitzvah de Halacha. You can't daven and say Hashem's name. But you are allowed to be mekayim a mitzvah.
So in the old days when the lighter Eden that were Shomer Shabbos and they had to daven, so what did they do?
They didn't. They couldn't. They couldn't daven. But you could take the wolf and shake it to the mitzvah and even allow it another Kiddush to think. Thoughts are not allowed to when it's metunaf, when there's here. See, this goes back to the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, if you're going to think about lewd thoughts, a person cannot control his mind, and lewd thoughts penetrate, you're allowed to think in Divrei Torah. You see another example. Here it's dirty. It's a dirty place, metunaf, there's an odor, and you're doing the mitzvah, lulav and esrog, you have to be mahar. How do I do the mitzvah? I shake this way, that way. What are the halachas that are relative to this particular mitzvah? It's mutter laharer in the way of doing the mitzvah, but the only thing you can't do is you can't say the bracha. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say about thinking. I don't know if you can't say. I don't know the answer. I hear what you're saying. I don't know the answer. Yeah.
It's a different charity, but in the hospital, if you bring in your tefillin,
yeah, they're going to burn it, yeah. Shadli in contamination. So are you allowed to put yourself in a situation where they're going to burn the davar shebe kedusha? It's a very complicated shaila. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll take a break.